Being a ministry wife is a vocation without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife like me and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. I'm Christine Hoover. Welcome to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women from various ministry contexts, having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about. No topic is off limits. Today, my guest is Clancy Garcia. Clancy is a Kansas native who met her husband, Noe, in San Francisco, where they started their ministry journey together. Clancy is a mother to four children and serves with her husband at North Phoenix Baptist Church in Phoenix. Clancy joins me today to talk about friendship for the pastor's wife. We talk about how we can identify women as potential friends in our church, how we can develop friendships, and we talk about the hurts that sometimes can come in friendship. Here, friends, is my conversation with Clancy Garcia. I am really excited to welcome Clancy Garcia to the podcast. Welcome, Clancy.
Thank you for having me.
I would love to know about your ministry context and your family.
Sure. So we are in Phoenix, Arizona at North Phoenix Baptist Church. We have kind of been all over the place. We met in seminary in San Francisco at Golden Gate, which is now Gateway. And we moved from there from Nashville, Tennessee, and then Fayetteville, Arkansas, and now Phoenix, Arizona. So we pride ourselves and joke about we have four kids and we have had one child in each state we've lived in. So,
oh my goodness. Yes. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Kansas.
Okay. So you've lived in a lot of different parts of the country.
I have.
Do you consider Kansas home? Or are you missing Kansas? Or,
you know, it's funny about that question. We just actually were in Kansas, and for the first time that we've been back, it didn't feel like home anymore. So
really,
I think we officially feel like Phoenix is home. And that has kind of been a fun turn of events, I think, just in our thought process of feeling settled. So it's been really sweet.
And how long have y'all been in Phoenix?
We're about 6.5 years now.
Okay. Okay. So tell us about Phoenix. What is the spiritual climate of Phoenix?
It's very interesting. Phoenix is very unchurched. And so it's just been a really interesting transition from more of the Bible Belt areas that we had previously been in to coming to Phoenix. So it's quite the mission field. That's for sure.
I'm sure. Well, I'm happy that you're joining me today to talk about a topic that we ministry wives both love and hate to talk about, and that's friendship. I mean, don't you think that? Like, sometimes I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to be reminded about all the hard things to navigate. And then sometimes that's the thing I most want to talk about because I need help with it. I think
Absolutely.
This is one of the biggest sources of joy and biggest sources of pain for any woman, but especially ministry wives as they're navigating all these complex and blurred lines with church and friendship. So what do you think about that? Do you resonate with what I'm saying?
Sure. I was teasing, but when I got this topic, I just laughed. I'm like, oh my goodness, out of all the things, friendship and church is really funny. So
yeah.
I do think it's the greatest joy, but it also comes with hard things as well, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm just going to go there and ask you, do you have close friends within your church?
Sure. So I have a few close friends inside of our church. And I'll tell you, in each season of ministry, I just share that we've been in different seasons and places. And it's been really interesting. Sometimes friendships for me have come very quickly. I just feel like I've always entered a new season just asking the Holy Spirit to give me one friend. I know that sounds kind of funny, but I just feel like if I could just have one friend in a new place, I feel like that is sufficient. And in some seasons, it's been many friends, and others, it's been few. And I would say I have a few close friends, but I have a lot of friendship. And there's definitely a difference, I feel like, between the two of those things.
Mm-hmm. And what would be the difference for you between close friends and friendship?
Sure. I think honestly, in the season of life that we're even in, just the capacity to have close friends. We have four little kids and I have a crazy busy schedule, which I'm assuming many, many of the wives listening probably have the same. And honestly, I think just the capacity to have just a few right now has just kind of been what has been the best, I think, for me. But I think too, just in this new role, it took a while to establish friendship for me here. I think just came a little bit with, I just didn't know honestly what to expect as the pastor's wife. How does that look? And I would say it took a little bit longer to establish friends, which probably meant fewer, if that makes sense.
Because is this his first lead pastor's role?
It is. This is his first lead pastor role. So we were in college ministry previous to this, which I tease all the time. I'm like, college ministry was so much fun and so easy. We had coffee all the time, got to chit chat with girls, and it was just the funnest thing. So
we used to do college ministry too, and I totally get that. Yes.
Oh.
We loved it. I look back at that time, and of course it had its challenges, but that was the easiest ministry we ever did.
I absolutely 100% agree with that, which is so funny. I look back and I'm like, I think I thought that was hard, and it was just a whole lot of fun. It had some things, obviously, as all ministry does, but it was just a blast. So got a lot of caffeine and a lot of conversations, and it was a lot of fun. So,
yes. Okay. So you're saying when you came into this role, it was a little bit harder. Either it was harder or you didn't know what to expect. And
sure.
So I'm wondering, how did you first begin to identify these women that you consider good friends? How did you kind of identify those women?
Sure. Honestly, this probably sounds a little bit silly, but I really went with my gut. I felt like the Holy Spirit was just giving really good discernment very quickly. And it just took time. Honestly, the more I would spend with someone, if there was somebody that I felt like I could have friendship with or enjoyed to be with, I would say I just took little baby steps of spending a little bit more time either serving together with something with the church or actually asking someone for coffee or vice versa. But, you know, honestly, it was just the consistency of character that I would see. And I just kept kind of pushing towards a little bit more of that. And if I continued seeing good character and good conversation, what were we talking about when we got together? Was it glorifying? Was it not? What does that look like? And that's kind of how I think I just started opening that door a little bit each time, was just consistency of character with the women that I was spending time with.
I love that you said that. Character and conversation. Those are two really good indicators we can keep our eyes out for. Women who have godly character and women who, when they're, we have good conversation, like we're talking about things that are meaningful and significant and that are challenging and all of that. And of course, we're not saying we won't be in relationship with anyone who is not of the highest, you know, standard.
No,
or whatever.
Absolutely not.
But we're talking about the people we're going to open ourselves up to, right?
Absolutely. Very different, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you begin, as you were identifying those women? I have found that often as the lead pastor's wife, especially, that women might not even consider that we would consider them a friend.
Sure.
And so how did you kind of move toward those women, and what are some things you did to indicate that you really considered them to be a friend to you?
So I think intentionality on my part of opening up a little bit each time. I'm not saying like share all your stuff, but just having conversation or spending time praying with that person, that was kind of, that sounds silly, but it was very vulnerable for me to say, hey, can we pray together over whatever we were talking about?
Mm.
But I feel like that would bond us in a way of just some transparency and vulnerability and being very intentional with our time together.
Can you give us some more? That's a great example you just said, asking them to pray with you. That does feel vulnerable. Are there other things that you might do or have done that are little steps of vulnerability like that?
Sure. I think with, you know, I'm thinking of an older lady in the church who I would consider a very good friend of mine. I allowed her kind of more into our space. So like family dynamic and with our kids, I started trusting her just with more of my life, like the busyness and the struggle of ministry and feeling like it was okay to share those things with her. It took time, but I also, the Holy Spirit just, I feel like, gave me this sweet friend. And I never really even questioned, if that makes sense. Like, I felt like he was just giving me a sweet gift of friendship with her. But definitely when I think of transparency and vulnerability, that's family for me, right?
Okay.
Like sharing struggles with our kids that we're facing, or does that make sense?
That makes total sense. Yeah. Okay. Like letting them into your personal space, not necessarily your home. I mean, that could be,
sure.
But your personal story, your personal space, that does sure. feel vulnerable.
Yes, it does.
Because we're like mama bears about our kids, for right. sure. So you mentioned, and I didn't even ask the ages of your children.
Sure. We have an 11-year-old, a 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old.
Okay. So you're really busy. Are you homeschooling? Or are they in school?
They are three of the oldest three are in school, and the little one is home with me most of the time. Okay. So
the question I have. Yes, yes. The question I have about that is, how do you find time for friendship to cultivate? I mean, I just think friendship takes so much time and intentionality, and it doesn't have to be like 3 hours at a time, but you really have to carve out time for it. So how do you do that as a mom of kids that age when you're really, really busy?
I'll tell you, when we first got here, I told my husband, Noe, I feel like I don't have friends. And he's like, well, what are you doing to make them? Like, how are you actually moving forward to find them? And that was part of it, honestly, was I would look at our calendar and there was no time. There just wasn't. We were filled with little babies and lots of things going on at the church and new schools and all the things. And so it sounds a little impersonal, but honestly, the most loving way for me to love my friends is to get them on our calendar. And so I was really intentional about making space on the calendar. We have a little family calendar that we all can see all the time. And it was just mom date on certain days of the week where I'd fill that space in with people that I like to spend time with. And I always kind of felt funny about that I would have to reach out in advance to spend time with a friend. But as I'm learning, that just is what we have to do as moms with lots of little kids. And if it's not on the calendar, it's not going to happen. Yeah. So for me, that was the best resource, is to actually plan it, schedule it, and then try my very best to keep the commitment of whatever we've decided to do.
That's really good. I sometimes feel like it's so pretentious to say, I'd love to get together. Can we get together in 3 weeks or a month?
The worst.
I don't like that. I wish it was different, but at least I'm doing it, right? As you said, being intentional.
I think in a weird way, it's a way to show that I do love you and care about you, and I'm making the time to make this work. And so, and I think too, in our season with little ones, it's that is what it is. However, I know that there will be a day where I won't have to schedule in all the things that I'm doing because we won't have as many things going on. So.
Yeah. Okay. So what are you scheduling? I'm imagining certain things, but I might be imagining wrong. So what are the things that you're doing with friends to spend time with them?
Well, we do like to go have coffee or breakfast or lunch. I've been pretty strategic. Our littlest one, his name is Fallon, but he's in school on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so typically I'm penciling in Tuesdays and Thursdays as time for myself, for the church, and then for friends. So love to have coffee and lunch and all the things food typically.
Yes, yes. So, yeah. And I remember when my kids were little, a lot of times when you have small, I mean, any time of life, it's busy. But when you're so tired from being a mom with little kids, it's really hard to have the energy to, at least for me, I'm an introvert, the energy to be around people. But I was always so glad I did it, even though I might meet somebody at 6 a.m. for a walk, or I might go out after the kids were in bed to meet up with a friend. I never wanted to do that.
Yes.
But then once I did it, I was so glad that I did.
That's exactly right. I think that was kind of the rut a little bit when we first moved here, was there's no time. I'm so tired. It's just, I'm good with no friends. I think this is just a season where, and then just realizing every time I would take the step to go do something like that, spend time with someone, it's life-giving and it's good for us. And we're supposed to be in relationship with one another. So making it priority. And even if you have to put it on the calendar, do it, because it's good for everybody. So
that's right. What about placing priority on friendship with your neighbors or people outside of your church community, with non-believers? I think it can be really hard as a pastor's wife. You have so many people around and you have your own children and your family. And so sometimes those kinds of relationships can kind of get shoved to the side or shoved, you know, further out. What kind of priority do you place on those kinds of things?
Well, I am actually also very introverted. And so I'll tell you the funniest thing about this is I actually have really enjoyed our space outside of church ministry sometimes. So I've found really sweet friendship with, you know, my son's baseball team, the moms on this team, and volunteering in the kids' classroom. I love doing that, to get to spend time to minister and just to be around their teachers and see what's going on in the classroom. And but we, as a family, that's a big deal for us. We really try to make sure we have intentional things outside of the church for the kids, but also for us to develop friendships that are not always look, you know, picture perfect, like we wow. see all the time. So it's been so good for them. Also, I think as knowing I do that with our friendships, it gives the kids courage to do the same thing with their little friendships, that it's not just safe friends at church, but they can venture out and love people differently. So I love that. I also love that, you know, sometimes I'm not pastor's wife when I'm at the baseball game or the soccer game, or it's just kind of fun. I'm just Clancy there. And I think any pastor's wife could probably relate to just getting to feel a little bit of breath that way.
Uh-huh. And then there's the moment where they ask, what does your husband do? And you're like,
it is the worst. I've definitely answered that question by, he travels and speaks or he, and then it just goes south really quick. The pastor word comes out and it's like, it kills the conversation.
Oh, I know. Sometimes that is just the worst. It's like the conversation is over. And you can tell they're going back through the conversation thinking,
absolutely.
What did I just say?
Yes. So yeah, you just want to say, it's okay. It's all great and it's all fine. I promise. So
yeah.
I always think, I just found a sweet friend. Oh, nope.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one that people can turn weird around. Maybe I'm the weird one. I do want to talk about some of the harder parts about friendship for pastors' wives. This is where it gets tough, and this is why we don't always love talking about friendship, or some people have given up. They've given up because of hurts. So I would love to ask you to kind of speak to some of these things. One being, have you ever been burned by someone that you considered a good friend? And I'm not asking for the juicy details of that, but I do want to know, you know, how you navigated that situation. Because I think a lot of times what happens is we need some time to step back and to let the Lord heal our hearts, but sure. It can be hard to re-engage again mm-hmm. and to not be self-protective and to not stay isolated. So I'd love for you to speak to that.
Sure. This is a tough one. I think if any pastor's wife is listening, there's a good chance or a great chance that we all would say yes. Our husband's positions are hard positions and they're decision makers and they have to do that. And sometimes that hurts friendship unintentionally. I don't think any pastor makes a decision hoping to hurt people. And what I've realized, which I didn't realize, was it kind of happens often, right? Your husband is making decisions for the church that he feels like the Holy Spirit has given him discernment to make. And unintentionally, it hurts people sometimes. You know, I think of the biggest example recently was COVID. It was so divisive in our church, but I think the Universal Big C Church, it was really divisive for churches. And, you know, I think what I've realized over our ministry life together is that guarding yourself so much that you just give up is unhealthy too, right? Yeah. I think too many boundaries isn't good for anybody. And there are definitely seasons where I feel like in self-protection mode, we do that. We put guards back up. But I feel like the Lord has given us relationships. It's good to have relationship with people. But there are times where when the boundaries come, it's easy to stay in that place for a long time. And I did walk through a season here where I did do that. And I realized the more I would isolate, honestly, the more miserable I became. But I was so afraid to get hurt again. So taking baby steps of restoration was really helpful for me. I was very intentional. I had to figure out a way to kind of claim what I was feeling and how I was hurt. And voice that. I talked a lot just to my husband about, you know, those feelings and hurts and writing them down on paper, honestly, to be able to see like even like names or situations. And then honestly remembering like the Lord, it wasn't a suggestion to forgive. It was definitely a command. And I had to work through that process. And until I could do that, I don't think I was even healthy enough to start another friendship, if that makes sense. So yes. Just being mindful. And, you know, sometimes when I look back and I've had seasons where I feel that coming up again, just, you know, anxious towards being vulnerable with people or don't want to get hurt again. Or what if this happens? Or my husband still is this person's husband's boss as well, you know, those kinds of things. But remembering not every friendship will end the same way, and they don't all end. They can be good, but trying again, it is really important to try again. And when those, you know, there's things that I look back and maybe we could have done this differently, or maybe they could have done that differently. And being able to say that and say, hey, I made a mistake, or it's okay, I do forgive you, those kinds of things, working through that is actually probably been the best for me, to actually name and claim what in the world that was and say, hey, in that season or in that space, I probably didn't handle that right. I think just actually speaking that it was a hurtful season or time helps move forward, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yes. I love that you brought that up, because you're saying repentance. You're saying you took time. And I do think this happens anytime we're hurt. It kind of opens up a lot more than we even thought was there, right? And shows us maybe parts of our heart, shows us how we contributed to the situation, shows sure. us how we need to grow. And sometimes it's not even that we've done something wrong and we need to repent of, but just that God's giving, he's showing us something and we need to make an adjustment in the way that yes. we handle things or the way we navigate friendship or relationships. And so I'm wondering if you, is there any way that anything, insight that you learned in that, and I'm sure there's multiple examples, but that you made an adjustment that you thought, okay, I didn't know that before, but now I'm going to adjust and there's something new, a new way that I'm going to approach friendship.
I think honestly, what I realized really quickly was the friends whom I trusted, which were few, I felt like they had almost a standard of they couldn't really meet. And that sounds interesting, but I assumed, because I had let them in, that they could not hurt me or they would not. And so it was really honestly just a daily reminder. I had to remind myself they are human and they are broken and they weren't performing for me. And I think that I gave them too much. I needed them to be perfect for me, honestly, just that you had to be safe. You were supposed to be safe. Or does that make sense? Like, yes. I think it was a me thing sometimes in, I opened the door and let you in. So there's no way you would hurt me. Well, when it does happen, realizing that I was putting too much on them in the first place. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes total sense. And that's what I mean about it. It opens up more. It's not just about the hurt, but it shows you some things that were inside your heart that you didn't know were there.
Sure. And I think that was the biggest thing that I had to, and continue to, like, just some self-evaluation. You know, it's good for us to kind of step back and see there's always things that we should and could be working on, and taking the time to actually do that. And then remembering too that, you know, I intentionally hurt people all the time that I don't know about. I just do. I'm broken. And you know, I think of friendship in the church specifically. I wish I could be friends with all of the women in our church. It's impossible yes. to do yeah. that. But looking back and just saying, okay, in that situation, even if it wasn't something that I had necessarily done wrong, but my response to the hurt is probably the biggest thing that I've noticed of then I'm guarding from other relationships and friendships, which isn't necessarily fair. So mm-hmm. I think there's wisdom in having discernment of boundaries and friendship for sure. But I don't think we're supposed to live alone. So
that's right. That's right. I think one of the things that I've really learned about friendship over the years is there is a sense, there is an aspect of friendship of it's always going to be there, and it's longing. We're always going to long for perfection in relationship. We're going to long for more. We're going to long for more connection, for more time, for more capacity to be with people. Like you said, I want to be friends with everyone. I think we all feel that. There's an aspect of friendship that involves longing, and we have to embrace that mm-hmm. or else we will become malformed, distorted, idolatrous, and we will be dissatisfied with the real people that God has put in our lives that are broken just like us. And you're we'll be exactly dissatisfied right. with ourselves yes. because we can't be the perfect friend. And so right. the more that I've come to embrace that there's just going to be this longing that comes, and that's in everything because we're not home. But friendship especially, because it's such a good gift, but we can so easily distort it.
I think you're exactly right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so another situation that tends to happen sometimes is we are accused of favoritism. So we might have deep friendship in the church, but some people see that and they want that. And maybe they feel, maybe they are lonely. They are looking for friendship. And so they see that and they want that. And so that can be really tricky, a tricky line to walk. How do you, Clancy, how do you navigate that? And how do you avoid, as much as you can, making other women feel left out?
So I'll tell you, that was, and it still is, it is really hard for me. I'm a people pleaser by nature. I'm introverted. So both of those things are actually really interesting together because I don't like disappointing people. And I also am not necessarily the most outgoing person to start friendship with lots of people. So when we came to the church, I didn't realize how many people would want personal relationship with my husband and I. And what I mean by that is not just like a friendly good morning, Sunday morning, you know, how are you doing? Hope you're doing well. It was they all wanted, or many wanted, you know, the coffees and the lunches and the all the things. And I felt very overwhelmed very quickly. And so I also have been in a place where, you know, I am the person in the pew hoping to have friendship with maybe the pastor's wife. So I kind of get both of the right. pictures.
Right.
But I realize I can't meet everyone's expectation and need. It's absolutely impossible. So what has happened in our church, or how I hope that I hope to make, when I do have a touch point with somebody, any sort of conversation, my goal is to fully invest in that moment with that person.
Yes.
Which has really been helpful. I think like really engaging and locking into whoever I'm speaking with at the church at the time. I do my very best to let them know that we care about them. I'm listening to what they're asking or saying and realizing that that is enough and it's okay. With my closer friendships on, let's just say a Sunday morning, for instance, I'm very cautious about just hanging with the same people in front of church. And honestly, it was never a conversation with the people whom I would say are closer friends. They have just given me space to be able to be amongst the people when we're at church. And I think it really alleviates the perception of favorites or even friendship. I don't know that someone in the church could say Clancy is great friends with one person, like to say the name, because we've been very intentional about when we're at church, it just isn't the time and space for that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I'm very cautious. Social media, I don't really post special friendships, if that is fair. I just would never want to give the perception that someone else is more important than the other. And I love our church and I love our people. And I know that I can't meet everyone's needs. So I just do, when I have a moment with anyone, I'm going to make it the most I can to hope alleviate a little bit of that.
Yes, that's really good. And I think we were talking earlier about indicators of good friend material. And I would say an indicator is also what you just described of the friend who knows that Sunday mornings are going to be a little different for you. And so they give you that space.
Yes.
They don't expect you to huddle up with them every right. Sunday. And I have friends like that. And I just so value that they've even voiced that. Like, I know you got to do your thing. I'll talk to you later. Or we'll hang out later. And I appreciate that very much.
It's a big gift. And it's the fact that it's kind of even either spoken or unspoken, it's just a sweet reminder. And I think too, like just a discernment from the Holy Spirit, like that's a friend, you know, that's a friend. So it's very sweet.
Yes. Have you ever been in a situation where you thought you had your people picker was good and you got into... What I would say is sometimes I describe it as like I've kind of walked into friendship deep, pretty deep, or I don't know if I'd say deep, but you've thinking, okay, this is a friend. We're clicking. Everything's going good. And then you kind of are in and you realize, oh no, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Or this person, maybe there's a few yellow flags coming up and I need to kind of step back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been in that situation, and how did you handle that? I think that is so challenging.
It is almost impossible and the worst. It is just the worst. So, you know, I have definitely found myself there before, and I am a really awkward confrontation girl. Like, I do not like it. I'm so awkward with any sort of confrontation. And that is probably one that I am very obvious, very quick that I'm uncomfortable. So if the conversation's going south, that person or people will know very quickly that I'm out. So I probably don't do the best at maybe gracefully exiting the conversation. So I typically, I'm just weird. I just don't do that very well. So yes, I found myself there, and it is hard. And it's another feeling hurt thing. You don't want to hurt people's feelings. Yeah. But I also don't want to engage in that. So how do you handle that? I'm so curious.
No. That's why I'm asking you.
Oh my heavens. Like, I don't do it well. So
I think I just give a little more space in between texting or
sure.
spending time. But I have had people, I don't think I'm good at this either. That's why I'm asking you. there's been a theme sometimes that people have come to me and said, I feel like you dropped me. Mm. And then they were right.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know, and that's still something I have to learn. I'm still learning. But maybe I'm a little more assured in my mid 40s about saying something, you know, like, let's say it's someone who I thought was a friend, but they began to complain to me about other people or sure. about my husband. Well, yeah. that's not just a yellow flag. That's a red flag.
It's a big red flag. Yeah.
And so I think I'm a little more assured about saying, like, I love you, but that's really hard for me.
And absolutely.
I feel uncomfortable. So I don't know. I'm still learning and growing in that. But to me, that's one of the hardest things as a pastor's wife, because you're still going to be in relationship with them.
Right. I don't think I realized that aspect very quickly. So just realizing that the drop method probably isn't very graceful. And I'm going to see that person soon. Mm-hmm. And my husband is still their pastor. And I'm learning too. I need to work on that.
So, I think that I have learned through those people confronting me, which bravo to them.
Sure.
They came absolutely. To me and said, I needed that. I needed right. that feedback. So I think I've learned to, it's like, I want to honor everybody. I still want to honor them. I don't want to just be like, oh no, I don't know what to do. I'm running far away.
Yep.
But I'm not going to share as openly with them.
Absolutely. And I think that's the trust of the Holy Spirit and trusting our gut is, and how to manage that, I guess, in a kind way is a little bit difficult, and loving too, because we're all growing and we could be on the end of that as well. So
yeah, and that's helpful.
Just remembering that. Yeah. So.
Well, everybody who's listening is realizing, hey, we're still learning and growing and figuring things out. And that is absolutely true. I've been in ministry over 2 decades, and there are still things I'm learning and adjusting and growing. And we will be until we're done, until
That's
we go
exactly
home.
Exactly right.
but I would say, and maybe I would say that friendship is so important. It's such a gift, and it's worth working through all these things. It's worth taking the risk. It's worth reengaging after being hurt.
Absolutely.
It's been friendship for me has been my sanity mm-hmm. in ministry. Would you say that?
Absolutely. I think the other thing to add to that is I found pretty great friendship with pastors' wives not in our area, which sounds really silly, but some of my closest friends to this day are still women that I did ministry with in other places mm-hmm. all over the country. And I think what happens there's a common thread there of we understand each other because our lives look similar, maybe different in where we're serving or how we're serving or the position our pastor or our husband's in. But there's definitely common threads of what our lives look like. Mm-hmm. And so that has been honestly the probably the biggest blessing in friendship for me are pastors' wives other places. And so it's really our friendship is picking up the phone and seeing each other maybe once a year. And so that time is super, super intentional for me. And that's been life-giving. So that's one way I would say if anyone listening has an opportunity to reach out to another pastor's wife somewhere else, I found really, really great friendship there and so grateful for that.
That's a great point and a great way to end the conversation. There's always opportunity outside the church as well. So, Clancy, this has been so fun to get to know you and hear your heart, and I just really have enjoyed it. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to the Ministry Wives podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. If you found this content helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your podcast platform or share it with a friend. You can find this podcast and other helpful resources at ministrywivespodcast.com.